All right, happy summer. I hope I can say happy summer to everyone. And for that, I've been busting out my Hawaiian shirt to manifest warm weather for everyone that's listening, because God knows we all need it right now as folks are ending the school year, hopefully on a high note and getting ready for their summer plans. And with that, I have the spectacular Charlie Peck with me as she's just come back from the state of Virginia.
Is that correct? Yes, it's Spotsylvania. Shout out to everybody there. It was awesome. What a great conference. And first of all, hello, Josh. Hi there.
Well, we've seen each other since you've been back. So it makes sense that you jump right into the conference. You got to see one of my favorite people outside of yourself with Allison Apsey out there at the conference. And I know you did a fantastic job. I think you had 6 sessions that you were doing.
I did 6 sessions. Yes, it was great. And what a great group of people who were there for leadership. So it was called the Edge Conference. And just the whole team who put it together was truly like, you should have seen all the details and the experience they gave for their people. It was truly extraordinary. I loved it. Loved it. Yeah. But the sessions were great. Everyone was pretty engaged. Talked about the language of behavior. We did a lot of case studies and discussion around behavior and response to that. Anxiety, avoidance. It was really, really powerful.
Well, I saw it on social media. I had a little FOMO when I saw the picture of you two together, you and Allison.
She's cool.
And then I don't know if you saw this too, because you've been out of town, but we also received 2 more 5-star reviews on Amazon for our book, The Language of Behavior, which was super fun to see. So I don't know, for those who are listening, Charlie Peck and I have written a book, The Language of Behavior, for folks. Came out in February, and we are up to 21 5-star reviews on Amazon,
wow,
which is crazy.
Wow. That is truly exciting. Wow. People are reading it and thinking they're doing good things with it. I'm thinking the reviews do that.
So if you have a copy yourself, you're listening now, we would love for you to jump on and share your feedback to everyone. We love getting those 5-star reviews and knowing how it's impacting you, your students, your staff, your campus. So feel free to jump in there and provide that. And Charlie, is there anything else before we jump into our listener question?
No, I think we're just looking forward to a busy summer. We're doing a lot of work this summer. We're meeting up together. Yes. For the California MTSS conference. I'm doing the Innovative School Summit in July in Nashville. I cannot wait. That's with school counselors. So if you're a school counselor listening, you need to be there. That's going to be amazing. Yeah, there's just so many great things coming up.
And I'll be in Anaheim again for Thrive EDU with Kim Gamrose and her crew. And then, of course, Charlie, I mentioned this yesterday with you. I mean, we've got folks signing up for school kickoffs too. So we'll be doing keynotes all over the country. So if that's something that you're interested in, please reach out. We love doing that and setting the stage for an upcoming and brilliant school year for you and your staff. And yeah, with that, let's jump into the question. So this comes from Fatina Jalambo. And the question is, when students act out towards peers, how do we respond without escalating the situation? Which I think is a beautiful kind of outlook as you're looking as far as maybe a teacher, counselor, or administrator.
Yeah, it is a great question because we don't often talk about the peer conflicts, but it does create so much drama, especially in middle school. So if you work with middle schools, Josh, I know you have a huge background here. There's so much peer conflict. It's kind of funny to hear the stories when I'm working with school counselors because everybody dumps those problems on them. And it's funny sometimes to hear, but not for them, not for them. And if you're the teacher who constantly has that conflict around you, it is so frustrating. Either it can happen in high school and certainly elementary as well. So I always say this, first of all, stay in your state of calm. We've had tons of episodes talk about how to keep your nervous system calm. But more importantly, after that is to remain neutral for each kid because we don't really know the whole story. And this, even if you're a parent of kids at home, I have 3 boys and 2 of them are still at home. And oh my gosh, there's so much conflict. I'm like, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. So I can't choose sides here. And so remaining calm for yourself and then neutral, that is the very first kind of 2 steps, I guess, in my opinion. What do you think?
Oh, I was laughing because, yeah, with middle school especially, it's constant. And I had to consistently remind myself first, and then there was my peers and colleagues just remind them too. Like, this is a natural state of new territory for them. They're essentially going from the elementary mindset of relying solely, purely on mom and dad. And now they're starting to make that shift where their influences are starting to become their peers. And as we know, you know, once you get to high school, it's pretty much all peers versus the adults in their lives. But, you know, for that shift, there, it's a new area for them. It's something that's brand new. It's a brand new experience, especially our sixth graders. They had a really difficult time with peers, specifically that first year, just because they're no longer in one class together. It's not like this core group that they're building relationships with. It's constantly move to, you know, I'm with 20 kids all day to now I might be interacting with 200 different students or maybe even more. So, you know, it's just a lot to put on them. And so with that, then there's also the additional factor to social media. A lot of our young adolescents are now this navigation of a new environment digitally that a lot of times we don't even understand what's being said behind the scenes that then sometimes escalates at the campus level face to face. And so there's just a lot of things that our young people are trying to go through it in a new way. And so for us, you know, it's aggravating sometimes as the adult because we're having so many peer issues over and over and over. And it seems like it's Groundhog's Day and the same things occur and we're having to do it with different kids. But just we have to understand like each individual, like you are saying, they are their own selves. We have to be neutral and we have to make sure that we're not passing judgment because obviously this is a tough time for them.
Yeah, especially at the beginning. I mean, there might be a point where we do insert some judgment there and think, okay, that wasn't the right thing to do. Now what? And so I think, but if we jump to that, then we're not going to have the chance to really understand what happened. And sometimes when it's frequent, when there's a pattern of behavior between two, I just often wonder, I know it's school-based and district-based, there's policy, but I find that there's often in those patterns that one kid is really good at masking their behavior and their contribution to it and seeming like the victim, which shows up in adulthood a lot too. And then that other kid just doesn't get the support they need. It bothers me to no end. I've seen it happen so many times. And I've been the teacher to where I didn't know it was happening. And it's frustrating because you do want to support them, but you really just, you're not recognizing it. And a lot of the kids are very good at seeming like they're the good one versus the bad one per se. So it's just about forming those relationships. Of course, we always say that, but it's also understanding how they are in other settings. I always like to gather more information. If something keeps happening over and over with the same couple of kids in my space, I like to figure out, is that happening in your classroom? Is that happening at home? Like, what's going on? Sometimes it never happened and it started to happen. Or sometimes a kid is picked on over and over and then nobody pays attention to them or they don't have those advocacy skills to stand up for themselves or they're not confident. And there's so many reasons why they're not speaking up for themselves or being assertive. So they're lacking that ability and the confidence. And all of a sudden they feel more isolated. And oh my gosh, it truly becomes a mental health problem for them. Some of these kids truly get depressed and it turns into like a traumatic response because they are struggling with that isolation and get into like this desperate feeling of hopelessness because of this. And sometimes those kids act out so poorly, like they might say something that's threatening and then all of a sudden they're the ones in the office getting suspended and nothing else has happened to the other kid. So I went on a rant there, but you can tell I have experience with some of these things and I was pulling those up as I was saying them out loud. So it can be a big thing, but let's talk back to your thought. What else are you thinking?
So I just want to expand on what you're talking about because you had talked about like potentially some behaviors that occur that maybe they get teased, maybe they get bullied, maybe some unkind things are being said to them. And what I would like to do with the students that were in my office is really kind of create a cycle for them and show them kind of what is occurring and why it's occurring consistently. Because a lot of times our students don't have the skills socially to either fit in or potentially not look abnormal in social situations. And so when they are having these things that are not typical, especially middle schoolers, they see something as a weakness, they pounce on it, and then it creates that negative cycle that occurs, which then causes a reaction, a negative reaction from that student. And so just showing them visually of what that looks like and letting them know, okay, this is a pattern that is occurring and this is why it's occurring. And going through almost some social skills teaching as far as in this situation, what could you do differently than what actually occurred with your peers? And so I think, you know, kind of pinpointing what those are and then having a teach piece with that, but then also showing them the reaction of like what's going to occur in that cycle of them, unfortunately, going through potentially something that's really going to, like you said, hurt their mental health in the long run because the unkind nature of the peers based on their actions.
Yeah, it is something that needs to be addressed because it is occurring a lot. And so one of the things I miss about teaching, one of the many, is that we used to talk about the bystander effect. We used to talk about this and how important it is to show alliance with someone who you know is being targeted. Because kids know who the target is, but they're just like, oh, at least it's not me, which again, it's a natural defense. I get it, especially with a lot of circumstances. But we used to do on the higher level teaching that I did, we did some like research and some experiments, like those social experiments. We got to do that because I taught the scientific method. It was really interesting to do. And so kids would go out and pretend to start a fight or would put somebody down and would talk to teachers and the principal ahead of time. But then they would see what did the other students do. And they did have some really good data that they brought in to show that alliance really did help the situation like just diffuse. And sometimes what we can do is have just another, we can teach kids that if you see someone being targeted by two people, you and your friend can just go over there and stand over there. You don't have to even say anything, just get close to that kid. Because now there's a three of you and it diffuses them. So sometimes that, I don't even know what the research says on that, to be honest, but I have seen that work very well. And just showing that alliance. So little things like that. And I also like to teach kids when we're teaching them social skills, teach them about posturing, teaching them about their firm voice, teaching them that saying less often is more depending on the circumstances. So equipping them with skills is kind of like when they go to do a presentation, they don't know what to do. When you have them practice and you give them skills, what to say, what to do, then it helps them feel confident. And that confidence shows up in that exchange. So some of it is, some and all of that can work. It's tricky though. I mean, they're forming their identity. They just want to belong. They want to be left alone and just have good, pleasant things happen. So it's so sad when it does.
Yeah. And I think just the assumption that as far as adults, that we just assume that they have the skills. Like, you know, you're a teenager, you know how to do this, figure it out. You know, like sometimes we are quick as adults to just look at a child and say, oh, go ahead and use them now and move on with this peer. And unfortunately, that's not the case a lot of times. And so it does take an adult to sit down with them. And sometimes like even in a restorative circle that, you know, we sit down together and I would pause a conversation and highlight something that was said that was, well, let's work on this communication here. This was what was said. This was probably a better way to de-escalate the situation, because the way that you said it is actually going to make the other person across the table angry or feel a negative emotion. So how can we say that better? And maybe give them some prompts and things like that. And I know our educators are extremely busy, so this takes time. But with that, you know, if they have the skills moving forward, then when they're in that stressful or potentially conflicting situation, they're going to have hopefully some practice with the adult to then have that basis to go on and start using those things.
Yeah, role modeling is very effective. And there's a lot of evidence to show that. So if we just give them some of the words and let them practice a little bit, it really can be powerful for them. And then again, it can build that confidence for them too. And also, it always depends. Like there's just so much going on. You just never know what's really going on. So that investigative questions we can ask and staying neutral, but then asking, giving voice to each other, sometimes separating them. And also a message that I sent to students often is you actually don't have to like each other. It's okay. We're not all going to like each other. And I always say, you know, I'm teaching 90 kids a day, if not more, and they're not all going to like me. They're not going to like me. That's okay. But we do need to learn how that, like you were saying, Josh, what we say, the way we say it is going to influence the way other people feel about us. And so let's just be cautious about that. Just think about it. And so, and it gives the ability to take accountability. I love being able to have that opportunity for kids. Let's take some ownership there, but not in a finger pointing way. Let's just like, how could you have changed that? What could you have done differently?
For sure. No, and I use the real world kind of examples also, because a lot of times, like in the front office, we'd have kids that had never conversation with each other, and maybe something happened, for instance, like in the cafeteria line, you know, someone bumped into another one and knocked over a piece of food on the floor, and then it caused a conflict. well, do you ever think that might happen in the real world outside of school when you're an adult? You know, and I would use like Walmart as an example. You know, someone's pushing their cart and something gets bumped and you drop something. Are you going to fight that person in Walmart? Right. And the kid would be like, of course not. Right. It's like, well, then what's the difference here?
Walmart. I don't know, Josh.
You never know, right? Yeah. But like the natural reaction for the kid would be like, of course not, because it's like out amongst the store and they would know the consequence, right? If you did get in a fight at Walmart, what would happen? Well, the cops would get called. And so it's like, well, you're so comfortable here at school that you'd just be willing because a cop's not going to come and grab you and arrest you. And so just equating the skills, like you need to have these because this is not going to go away. This is not an isolated incident in school. This is going to happen to you as an adult and you need to practice it here to make sure that you are going to be a successful adult. So I always like to try to pull in some real world examples also that correlates to the negative behavior with other peers.
Love it. I mean, I feel like we could talk a lot about this, but I think those are some good, simple things to start with for people. And I think that there's a lot we can take away for ourselves in modeling it too.
Yeah. So I want to thank our listener, Fatina, for sending that over. We have a quick bit.ly for everyone. We made it as easy as possible for folks. So it's a quick form, bit.ly/LOB questions. It's always in the show notes for you. And we would love for other listeners to fill this out and give us some more content so we can make sure that we're addressing whatever's occurring on your campus or in your school district. And of course, I've been flashing up websites as we've been talking. So if you want to head over to Charlie's website, she's over at thrivingeducator.org. Phenomenal website with a lot of resources, free things for you. I've also constructed something for the language of behavior on my website. So if you head over to joshdenver.com/language of behavior, we've got our book study kit, we've got some freebies, the podcast services, all kinds of things. We had talked about in past episodes about the free book study kit. I know folks are starting to, you know, use our book for the upcoming school year as far as doing a book study. So if that's something of interest, we wanted to make sure that we had something that was kind of a additional resource for you to go with that. Charlie, do you have any more to talk about in regards to the book study kit?
Just that everything's there for you. I mean, it's super easy. I want everyone to know that that's the whole point. If you want to run it, we've got it all for you. Even email invites for people and reminders that you just copy and paste. So all the reflection sheets are in there, worksheets, all of it.
Very cool. All right. And then of course, you know, we're going to have all the different links, including like for bulk orders. You can make sure that you're getting that discounted rate for those who are doing book studies for the upcoming school year over at connecteded.org. Charlie, do you have any closing words for episode 28?
Yeah, 28. Woohoo. I mean, we can always teach tolerance. We can always teach about going back to in the real world, if somebody is going to knock something over, how are you going to react to it? We can always teach, like, is this something that's pleasant or unpleasant? Is this something that is like your response is going to be hurtful or harmful or helpful, I should say. And so we just can really simplify, just understand what is worth giving energy to or not, and then just teach some tolerance around it.
Wonderful. All right, y'all. Hopefully you have a wonderful rest of your week. And for those who are still in session, we hope that the end of the school year is just perfect for you and that you are going to roll into the summer and just revived, rejuvenated for everyone getting ready for the next school year. I know some of you are probably angry that I even mentioned the next school year, but we are here for you. So if you need anything, please reach out. We'll make sure that all the links are in the show notes, and we can't wait for you to join us for the next episode.
Awesome. See you guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.